Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up, the internet? And welcome to another wonderful season, number 267, episode 1 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iCarrot Radio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, December 12th, 2022. Miles, what day is it? Oh, thank you, Miles. Let me tell you. It is. Let me pull it up really quick because I don't have it off memory. I usually have the other dates padded. This one, though, is International Universal Health Coverage Day. Yeah, I like that. Oh. National Ambrosia Day. I like that. Okay. National Poinsettia Day. And Gingerbread House Day.
Oh, wow.
Also National.
Yeah, true.
It's also National Ding-a-ling Day, but I'm like, what the fuck is that? I didn't want to, just in case this shit is weird. It says, National Ding-a-ling Day encourages us to reconnect with people we once talked to often.
Oh, so like.
I guess a ding-a-ling is on this day. Yeah, call the people they haven't heard from in a while. Yeah, call them.
Shit.
How about that couple who carpooled for soccer, it says? Go ahead. Hit them up. Just ding-a-ling it up, though.
Just ding-a-ling.
I will say that hitting up the friends that you haven't talked to in a long time, fucking, this shit is, it helps you feel very good.
It hits.
I did not really describe that eloquently. Yeah, thank you. It hits.
Exactly. Reconnecting hits.
I mean, reconnecting with the homies is low-key flame, bruh. Do you feel me? It's fucking goat hot.
It's very okay. Poggies.
Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, my name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. I like to get geek, smoke a whole blunt, wake up and repeat. Damn. Okay, I've been listening to too much Hotel Lobby by Unkin Few, Long Live Takeoff, by the way. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host today. One of the fucking homies, bro. Come up to the stage. DJ Daniel Goodman!
Yeah. It's your boy DJ Daniel, a.k.a. DJ Armored Core 6, coming out in 2023. You will never see me again. That's not true. I'll beat the game eventually. But hot damn, I'm excited. It's your boy. That's all I got to say.
I loved Armored Core, you know, as like a fighting robots type kid. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I remember there was one game where the lock-on system was so next level that I was like, bro, get away from me because I will destroy your shit.
It's one of those games that, like, I think people forget that it comes from the people who made Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all of that because they haven't released an Armored Core since those games came out. So now it's like, oh, we take the lessons from those games, these amazing games, shout out Elden Ring, winning Game of the Year, and then apply it to Armored Core 6. I truly cannot wait. It's going to be bananas.
Fucking 12 years? 11 years?
It's been a long time. I think it's been seven. There was like a re-release of a game that came out like 7 years ago, but it's not, they haven't done a full ass Armored Core game.
Yeah,
in a long
five.
Time. I'm gonna look
the
at the
first five came out in 2012, and then Verdict,
there you go. There you go.
Okay,
it's been 2013. 10
okay.
years.
Well, Daniel, enough about us and our love
truly.
Of robotic war machines, because people know that we love robotic war. But we, you know, what we love even more people with a bubbly disposition, people with infectious optimism, people who, when you say, "Hey, tell me something about this," you can trust what they say because they're not full of shit and they're probably, as I said, have low grade expertise in most areas of pop culture.
Low
on
grade.
Top of it, film critic, writer, producer,
facts,
you know,
facts,
you all get all
facts,
that host.
Facts.
Please welcome to the stage our good friend, Joel Modine.
Oh my God. It's fun to
Hello.
Be here with the two of you. We've never
I know.
Done
what
this,
is this?
Just the three of us.
Fake Doctor's Daily Zeitgeist mashup right now. Yo, real friends, real hosts.
This is
you
real
know what I mean?
February 2020 vibes up in here. Mm.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, man.
This,
yeah,
this
right?
Office,
being in the office together.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Anyway, how are you doing? How you doing? What's new?
What's new? What's good, bro? What's new? Not a lot, man. I'm excited. This is my, I was telling somebody earlier today, this is my first holiday break since I moved to L.A., mm-hmm. So I used to be a freelancer, so what break? Like, you just...
Okay.
And this would be, like, the leanest of times, so right. you had to, like, really push yourself to, like, make
right.
money during this time period, because January is just a dead zone. There's nothing. And then in February,
yeah.
I would usually get hit up for Black History Month. But I get 2 weeks off just to, like,
yeah.
play so many video games.
Let's go.
I'm
going to
sleep
go.
It in. I'm doing, like, the deep clean on my house now so I can just fully
Ooh,
relax
okay.
and sink into it. I'm just very much looking forward to not answering a single fucking email. It's going to be great.
Exactly. Exactly.
That sounds wonderful.
They'd be like, look, I'm so happy for you. I think the reason I love Christmas so much is because how... like excited I would get for this break when I was in school.
Hell yeah. Mm.
Because this was prime TV watching, prime gaming time.
Yes.
There wasn't another time in the school year where my mom would be like, man, fuck it, just let this motherfucker rot his brain on
just
PlayStation.
Let him.
No.
Like, whatever. He's not yelling or whatever. Just go ahead and do that. So I always like, I think I have this deep love for this time because I think it's one of the few times I can actually kind of get in touch with my childhood.
Hell
or like
yeah.
my fun-seeking inner child.
Whole
you know
house
I mean?
Be smelling good as hell. Like,
oh, yeah.
All your favorite cousins are over. You know, all
exactly.
your friends got the same schedule. Nothing. Oh, gosh. It's truly an ideal time of year, particularly because we live in L.A. and there's no snow. Woo!
Yep.
I hate the snow.
Yeah.
I'm just very happy for this
I mean, if I get it. I got two trees in my house. I got candles going. Like I said, my name becomes Karen Anderson on
yes.
December 1st. Because you will walk in my house and then you'll be like,
I think this is white people.
yeah.
I tried to get a tree this year because I've never had like this is my house I bought this tree situation going on, but my brother vetoed it. He was like no on Christmas. He was like no, but he did come around. He did say a wreath would not be too much. So
hold on I'm not trying to call out names. I'm not going to use his name. People know the show well enough. They know who we're talking about. He said he doesn't want it. He's anti-tree?
No Christmas
Just no
tree.
Christmas tree.
No Christmas tree.
Why? What's the reason? The needles come off?
He's
you don't want to clean it?
He doesn't like Christmas. Like, don't play a Christmas song near him. He's not about it. He doesn't like the Christmas holiday music at all.
Yeah,
is
okay.
He's not like a Scrooge or anything. He's just not about
yeah.
it. It's not his
yeah.
plane.
It's so you know? Funny. Whenever we talk about it, he stays real mum. You know
the
what I mean? Probably
he
because he's like, he's probably like,
stewing.
I was raised to say, look, if I don't have anything nice to say, just don't say nothing.
That's
there you
kind
go.
Of like saying you don't like dogs. Like people are like, oh, how dare you? What,
yeah.
did you try this dog? A puppy? Like I just feel like it's probably not worth trying to have the conversation.
All right, I'm going to run a PSYOP on him now.
There you go.
We're getting you a tree. We're getting you a tree.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out.
I'm so
the second
excited.
He's, yeah, I know he's in Chicago right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah, when he comes
maybe
up,
he'll,
just a 20-foot tree.
He's going to come
home
and be like, I don't know where this game
on
from.
Him.
I
just
magically
him.
Appeared. It's a Christmas miracle.
Well, what do we say?
It helps the audio to have it in the house,
yeah.
from what I've heard.
No,
anyway, Joel, we will get to know you even better
okay.
than we just have. But first, we're going to tell our listeners what we're going to be talking about today. First up, just quickly, peace out to Kirsten Sinema. She just said, hey, y'all, I turned that D to an I. You
My
feel
bitch.
Me? Yeah, so she's an independent
so
trader, or I don't know
dumb.
What you want to call her. Like
stupid.
Political creature, let's
oh,
be
yeah.
fair. You're an opportunist. You know, I'll be very objective. Then we're also going to talk about how the GOP, they are so hung up on the early vote right now. They're like, God, what, the early vote really cost us? But if you really look at the numbers, their voters are actually turning out in higher numbers than Dems in some races. There's a little bit of digging to do over there. And we shall do some light digging there. And then we will talk about a couple things. First off, since we do have someone who's a low-grade expert in things in popular culture, first up, Fox News, they're coming for American Girl dolls. Why? Because they've deigned to say things like, hey, man, kids should just be comfortable in their own bodies. So Fox is completely on one. So we'll talk about that and, you know, just how they tend to not like the American Girl doll. And then Splash Mountain, it's finally closing. Finally?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or maybe in a couple years or January 23rd, 23. We don't know. But if you remember, we were told this like 3 years ago. But anyway, we'll check in on the state of Splitash Mountain. But first, Joelle, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, what you're interested in?
If you were not certain, I was really geared up for the holidays. I looked up non-traditional Christmas movies. I'm a huge movie person, particularly around the holidays, because this is when my dad would usually get some time off, so just binge watch a tons of movies. We watch the extended edition of Lord of the Rings every year. We do the normal editions for Thanksgiving and then the extended editions for Christmas.
That's fun.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. So we'll definitely be doing that.
Oh, and like your dad is like a big, like, I heard you have a theater in your house.
Yes, there is a 110-inch screen in the basement with a projector, rumble seats, and surround sound. And then upstairs in the living room, he just upgraded to an 80-inch, somewhere in their TV, because he said that if he has to watch something upstairs with my mother, it wasn't hitting the right size. You know, he just wanted the large screen.
I get it.
So it takes up an entire wall in the living room. That was a surprise. No one got a heads up on that. She showed up. He was like, babe, we got a new TV. She was like, the hell? He mounted it on a short wall, so it hung over the sides. And she was like, absolutely not. So they had to redo their whole living room. The man loves a movie and he hates a crowd. I am his child.
So. I love that. Respect. Can I respect? Am I your cousin? I think I am. What's the address? I'll be there.
I would love it. It was so funny. I asked him, we're throwing my grandmother a 90th birthday party. And I was should we just rent a projector? He's like, do I have three upstairs? He's like, I'll just bring one over. I was like, oh. He's like, actually, do you want one of them? I was like, yes, obviously. So we're getting a projector.
Let's go. I love extended editions. Man, that's such a thing I didn't even think of like taking the time to be like, let's watch the longest version of this movie because we ain't doing nothing except enjoying each other's time. Love these things.
Because and then my dad teaches us like, you know, film history. So it's both like his history with the movie, but then also the movie's history.
Wow.
So we watch what's the one? It's basically like imagine any like 1950s 3-hour epic. We've seen it on a big screen. And then he'll talk us through like, I watched this in a segregated balcony in Chicago. That's really intense, Dad.
Wait, what are some of the non-traditional Christmas movies
Batman Forever is high on my list.
Okay,
I'll be adding that into regular rotation.
I misunderstood what the definition of non-traditional Christmas film. I was like, happiest season?
I think anything like with that Kristen isn't Stewart? Strictly like, hey, this is about Santa. So you're Die Hard, of course, under that. I just did a show with Hector, my host on Comic-Con Metapod, actually, and we laid out our ground rules, which are it has to be predominantly based at Christmas time. You have to capture the Christmas feeling / like morality of Christmas. Like, you know, it's about family or believing in yourself or something along those lines. And that's pretty much it. We appreciate a depiction of Santa at some point, but he is not necessary to quantify a Christmas movie.
What's a Christmas movie that is not a Christmas, like something that has those things visually, but then you go, unfortunately, that is not a Christmas film.
Jingle All the Way is our best example of this is a Christmas movie, but it's absolutely not a Christmas movie. Here's why.
Really?
Jingle All the Way is entirely about capitalism and needing this fucking doll. And that's it.
But that's
nothing to do with, he's like, oh, my kid needs this toy. I guess you could say at the end, the movie's very convoluted and weird and does not stand the test of time. It's not good as your childhood brain remembers. I'm so sorry to tell you.
I can't imagine anything with those elves was problematic. But go on.
The elves are chill.
But at the end of the day, like, he's like, oh, I got you this doll. And the kid's like, yeah, I love you for getting me this doll, Dad. Not,
yeah.
Oh, this time we spent together was more valuable than any doll could be, which is how a true Christmas movie would end.
Hmm. Part, all right. I would posit to the court that, sadly, Christmas is about capitalism now.
Oh.
So because of that, maybe we shift the goalposts.
We have moved in that direction. I'm not going to lie.
But it doesn't, okay, it betrays the original intent of the holiday, I think, as you put it.
And it's not as satisfying, okay? I'm just saying, if you've ever experienced actual, you know, just the vibe, yeah, like being in the kitchen with the people that cook at your holiday or function, or like, you know, taking that walk with your cousins. Like, there's a specific vibe we're trying to have at Christmas, and I need it to be imbued in my films. It's not about buying things.
Christmas made me an atheist. You know, I talk about that a lot.
People told me to
pray, and I was like, okay. I was like, for what? For stuff you want. And I'm like, where is my Super Nintendo? Oh, okay. So God is fucking around today. I see what's happening. Okay. I'm off this.
Okay.
And that's how my childish brain worked. Unfortunately, I was just very selfish, and that's how I ended up where I am today.
All because of a missed Super Nintendo. The hypocrisy is high this time of year, so it's a good time to be like, oh, none of this shit matters? Great, thank you.
In Jesus' name, amen, baby.
Another question. Is Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas film?
Yes, it is the Venn diagram of Christmas films, and that is also a Halloween film.
Okay, and somebody, a listener, I forget on Twitter, and I'm sorry that I'm not shouting you out, but pointed out that, like, in my house, I actually tell my kids it's a Thanksgiving film.
Because it falls in the middle?
Yeah, dead middle.
Okay. I'm just saying. Listen, no, it's fine. Again, I'm not here to yuck anyone's yum. Okay, if you enjoy it and that's how your family does it, I'm so happy for you. I'm just saying it has nothing to do with the idea of giving thanks and everything.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Why are we here? What's the point?
Fair.
A better Thanksgiving movie is When Harry Met Sally. You're welcome.
Okay. Oh, that was Jeremy. Jeremy on Twitter. You know who you are. Okay. What's the next question we ask on this show? That's what it is. Hold on. I think I got this, Joel. What do you think is something Kroger made it? No. How do I read this? Overrated.
There you go. Kroger didn't make it,
though. What is overrated?
I thought you were just answering in the form of a question on some Jeopardy shit.
I'm going to say, even though it's literally a miracle, airplane flight. It's totally overrated. Listen, go on.
I'll keep an open mind.
Every time they're like, you're going to get there like so fast. Don't even worry about it. It's like, I have to go into a airtight like death trap with horrible people who put their bare feet on stuff and flip their hair over the backseat. All of these chairs are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Every single one. Get to first class. It's still not exactly comfortable up there. I tried it recently. I was like, oh, this is going to be the next level experience of flight. The food will be better. Mm-hmm. The chairs will be better. I'm going to be so comfortable. The stewardesses are going to be nice. And like, some of that is true, but for the most part, it still feels like you're sitting in a hard plastic chair at a 90 degree angle, 6,000 feet in the air. Like, it doesn't make logical sense.
Yeah.
I would much prefer to travel by like most luxurious coach. See, I just feel like we're doing vacation wrong here. I want to scrap the whole thing and do it like the Europeans. I need 3 months off at a time. I need to stay for a place for weeks. Okay. I need really to experience and explore and languish. A weekend trip in a plane with 100 other people with these airborne diseases. I'm just no longer about it. Overrated.
Nah.
I know. Cause you just recently, I saw you on your IG story. You said you just hopped off the 16 passenger. This is a G5. This not a Challenger. Big ones. I believe you were saying
big ones.
That's what I like. I fuck with you, you know, Joel, because you're like, totally. I can't do it. That's why I'm flying in a G5. You know what I mean?
Same.
And this ain't a Mac.
Same. I feel like that was a thorough, like, inarguable takedown of travel, which I really appreciate. The other places.
If you could, like, if you had wizard powers and you could just, you know, be like, you're gone, poof, okay? What's a violation on the airplane you would instantly be like, okay, you are banished to the ground?
It accumulates under anyone who's not considerate of the people sitting next to them. But that could be anything from like, I'm pulling my mask down to talk on my phone really loud while there's a mask mandate happening. I wanted to slap that bitch. It was awful. Taking your shoes off is one terrible. When you then lift your foot and put it on someone else's armrest, you can go to hell. Whatever you get, you totally deserve.
Oh, yeah.
Putting your long hair over the back of your seat. Ma'am, sir. Someone is sitting there. That is someone's particular space hopefully they have a screen that can help them forget where they are for the next 12 to 16 hours. And you're ruining the experience. I went recently saw a TikTok where a girl was like, okay, bet. And she just put gum in this other person's hair, like squished that down real good, dumped it in some soda. Yep. And I was like, I don't feel bad for her because you know what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing. You're going to have to cut that out. Yeah. It's going to suck, but don't do it again.
You really do.
What I like to do is I like to smuggle a lighter onto the plane just for this kind of thing. And then I singe their hair. Like, and people are like, sir, you have a lighter. And I'm like, but they have their hair over
look
this
at
thing.
It. Look, really.
Call the air marshal on them.
It's who's their hair that's on fire?
I mean.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. I brought a prohibited device on an aircraft. But what about this haircraft before me?
Oh wow.
Okay.
And they still throw me off the plane.
Of course,
I'm actually blacklisted from most airlines. So I use an alias.
I had an experience recently that I wanted to share that fits into this category of things you wish you could banish from the plane, from the plane world. It is not moving when the plane is empty. Now, let me explain what I'm saying.
Wait,
we were just on an incredibly empty flight. Incredibly empty. My partner, Stephanie, and I were in the middle seat and the window seat. And there was someone in the aisle seat to our left.
He's like, I'm good here.
Go to hell.
Put on their headphones, fell asleep. This is not an exaggeration. This is not an exaggeration. There were 20 empty rows. It was one of my first times being on an empty, empty plane in a long time. And we look, yes, there's the we could have moved.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's really okay, but tell me why you couldn't. Or else this shit is moot. I'm sorry.
There's a lot we had a lot of stuff. We were traveling with our dog.
Oh,
and we just wanted
once
we were settled, it was like, but this person who's sitting on the aisle, literally just one row over, empty row. Row in front of
I'm
us.
I'm sorry, I'm with you, empty Daniel. Row. I'm with you because here we are two people with small living being to take care of. Like, all you have to do, sir, is hop over one seat. And what do you prefer?
They were in the aisle.
I don't know. If I'm going to be real, I feel the onus is on the people who aren't comfortable. And it's not like you are blocked by him.
You're right.
And I get the inconvenience, but I think if I'm going to be
brutal. No, I don't want to be rational about this, Miles.
Okay,
no,
fine.
Just move.
Okay, yeah.
Just move.
Fuck that, dude.
Move.
Get
what
the fuck
doing?
Out of the way,
Why
man. I got a little dog here.
I'm also just like, I mean, you know, maybe this is just me and some people really prefer this, but this particular person, and this is not, I'm just making a comment, not in any sort of like, either way, this person was not particularly tall. So it's not like, you know, people who prefer the aisle seat tend to need longer leg room because they need to stretch their legs out a little bit more, et cetera, whatever. This person was not in that category of like, I'm so tall, I need the extra leg room. They were just a person who was just like, I'll just sit here and fall asleep listening
to
whatever
I'm
listening to. But
also there's other aisle seats. It just doesn't.
So
it's not confusing
there
because
so
there's
many.
Nothing I would do to not have to sit next to somebody on a plane.
I don't know if it popped off. If it popped off, I would have took up for the guy in the aisle seat. I think
we would have been on opposite side, Miles, but I still would have respected you afterwards.
I would have been like, "Y'all can move." I'm like, "Y'all can move, right?" That is his
but
seat.
I have to climb over this. Like he's going to have to either
No, you don't have to do that. You can be like, "Hey, motherfucker, wake up! I'm moving because you won't move."
Yeah,
that's how you handle it. And then I'd be like, "Yo,
that's totally
and I
fair."
And I would defend you to speak to him like that.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
And if we wanted
the
to move
off, unplug the shits.
If we really wanted to move, sure, we should have taken that responsibility. But literally, everyone else around
us was
moving and repositioning, and this person was just like, "I'm good." Like, how are you comfortable right
now? Maybe he was a fan.
He's like, "You'll never guess who I fell asleep next to."
Much worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Much worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joel, what's something you think is underrated?
God damn it.
Underrated being alone? Oh my God. Mm. The older I get,
shots
like,
fired.
I might have done this on here already. And if I have, I apologize, but
doesn't
also
matter.
I don't because it's really real. Being by yourself and getting to make all the decisions that just you want. I hate a compromise. Loathe it. You have to make so many compromises every single day with every single person you interact with because that's what it is to be in community and fine. Okay. But when you can come to your own space and not have to ask anybody about shit, that is sweet. That is the good stuff.
I don't think
I could be married. I'm like, why are you in my house? Go away.
You back again? I got off work. I'm home. I mean, fine. You're like, I guess. You're
I guess.
Like, fine. Yeah, being alone. I mean, I'm an only child, so that I grew up on alone mode. But I was also like a lonely only child, so I was never really alone at my house. I was always playing with the kids in the neighborhood. Sure, like I was never solo dolo. So I got my sibling shit rubbed off on me from me being in like a 5-kid household up the street every day.
Nice.
But there you go. I think mostly because even though can be very outgoing, I am an introvert at the end of the day. And that is the other big part about being alone for me is like, that's the only way I can really recharge is to just be like.
Yeah. I always get weird looks when I'm like, cause frequently in public, I'll be like, oh, okay. So my person battery has run out. I have to go isolate for a minute. And especially if I'm like on set or something, people constantly like, are you okay? You good? Yes. Don't talk to me.
I'm good.
To come back to you, but just need space.
You're normally like so outgoing, motherfucker. But it's finite.
That shit is draining.
Yeah, and I can't just smile through fucking everything all the time. And I know that you want that from me right now, but guess what? It's a discipline, and I need time to recharge.
I simply will not.
With that said, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back to wish Kyrsten Sinema a fond farewell or whatever after this.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. Peace out, Kyrsten Sinema, the senator who is probably one of the most hated senators in the country somehow, despite having that D next to the name. I think, again, like I said, it's probably due to her opportunistic nature. You know, she started off as like an activist who like was like protesting the Iraq war and saying things like abortion is healthcare. And then once you get into the Senate, suddenly just tacked to the middle, like real quick. And then just sat on her hands and was like, I don't know, what do you want us to like do something about the filibuster or like get these like voting protections done or climate? I don't know. Please. I'm trying on some new wigs right now and I can't be bothered. Seemed to be her energy. And yeah, on Friday, she announced that she was leaving the Democratic Party and registering as an independent. I mean, I don't have much to say. I'm sure I will once I just think about it a little more. But really, it doesn't change the math in the Senate, luckily. And I think she chose obviously the time to like where Warnock's victory kind of sealed the majority and then was like, all right, y'all, and I'm out. And her whole thing was like, You know, I just feel like I couldn't be really put in a box. She's like, I kind of needed to be myself. Then you had all these takes where people were like, the progressives bullied her out of the party. It's like, fool.
Eat shit.
Look at the makeup of the Senate. I'm only counting like maybe three people as progressives over there.
Truly.
So everybody else managed to not get chased out. So what's the problem? But yeah, it's just I think the most interesting thing is she's up for re-election in 2024. And surprise, surprise, Arizonans fucking hate her too. Only 37% of all likely voters viewed her favorably. Among Democrats, 57% viewed her unfavorably. Even among independents, the new fucking crew she's riding with, 51% said they viewed her unfavorably. So if she runs as an independent, they're like, yeah, the Ruben Gallego sounds like he's going to run against her. So we'll see what happens.
What's the strategic plan behind this? Because, I mean, it doesn't impact where she votes or how she votes. She doesn't have a party backing with it.
No, she said she's not going to caucus with Republicans. So she's like, no, I'm like truly trying to stay independent, whatever. I mean, like, she's so bipartisan. You're like, are you really just a Republican in disguise? Did someone get to you? And like, because it was really her and Manchin who ended up like being able to at least, you know, be the focal point for a lot of the news coverage to say these are the people holding up a lot of the legislation. But from what I understand, she'll keep her committee assignments and things like that. But who knows? Things can change because it seemed like this kind of happened rather quickly. So.
So does it truly make it a non-move? Like, is it just a headline? Does it has no bearing? Because we still have the majority.
Yeah. And also the other independents, Angus King and Bernie, they caucus with the Democrats, and then you still have it really
weird.
Yeah,
weird that you would do it now and not at like a pivotal point when we were.
I think probably did that. It was probably done so people wouldn't be like, "Why are you doing this? Why are you saying this right now?" And it probably, and maybe by her math, she was like, "Okay, I'll wait till it's a wrap so that they won't fully hate me." For being like, okay, I'm off this.
Yeah.
But it's been like a while. I think the last person to switch was Joe Lieberman. That was back in '06, y'all. When
hey yo,
I was '06.
'06, my junior year of college. Folks, let me tell you, it was a wild time.
Yeah. Sophomore in high school. Oh,
Back to Basics by Christina Aguilera just came out, and you know what? Ain't no other man like Senator Joe Lieberman. Okay.
No, you should not pull an ain't no other man. I'm referenced out of nowhere. That was crazy.
You goofy.
Yo, that was a time I was in that entourage.
You were in the Christina Aguilera entourage?
Yeah. I was at the filming of that music video. It was downtown at the Alexandria Hotel. And like they had a bunch of dudes from Fishbone pretending to be the band in that video.
You have this life where every episode a story comes out where it's like, how in the hell did this happen?
Yeah. Because my girlfriend at the time was one of her backup dancers.
This is so crazy.
And was like her best friend. Yo, I get, man, shit. Anyway, and now I'm just a podcaster. You know what I mean? I've seen it all. Look, shout out to everybody who remembers the underground part of Privilege on Sunset. Okay.
Okay.
Getting geeked after hours. Anyway, let's move on to the GOP thinking that the early vote is what cost them. So the distilled version of like the prevailing sentiment in the GOP around like the midterms loss seems to be that the fucking early vote cost us. We need to figure out how to get the early vote on lock like the Democrats. And the two races where this is getting screamed is in Georgia with the Walker loss and in Arizona where Blake Masters lost. Democrats definitely turned up for the early vote and on election day. But if you actually look into the numbers, the election map in those states actually favored the Republicans based on enthusiasm and turnout. In Georgia, Herschel Walker supporters were more likely to actually go out and vote than Warnock supporters. And the white voter turnout rate was higher than black voter turnout by the widest margin since 2006 in the state. Like Walker lost, but Brian Kemp and like other down ballot Republicans, they were pretty comfortable. Like Brian Kemp won by 8 points. And in Arizona, where Phoenix is home to 70% of the electorate, 75% of registered Republicans voted, while only 69% of Democrats showed up. That's a 9-point advantage. Yet Carrie Lake and Blake Masters lost. And there's a similar story in Nevada, too. Like, there's this thing where it's like, nah, people showed up. So what the fuck is going on over there? Well, based on, like, a lot of anecdotal evidence and other data, it just seems clear that while some voters preferred Republican-controlled down ballot, the people that the party put at the top of the ticket just were not, it just was not hitting. I'm fine with Brian Kemp, but like Herschel Walker says something about being a vampire. Like, you just can't.
Herschel Walker talks about having there. To pay a child to come see a child's movie with him because his own kid didn't want to go see it with him. So you could just enjoy the media. You do not have to, tell people that you're watching these things.
Didn't have to say any of
that. Did not need to bring another child into this at all. You could just be like, you know what? I want to see, Frozen 2 or whatever. Like, just go watch the movie.
Well, weirdo. Again, I think it shows whatever his perspective is on adults going to. He's like, well, they must be freaky if they're there at the movie theater. But
it must be freaky.
I think, but even like with all the like radical left takeover talk that the Republicans were just like steadily pumping out, like they absolutely seem to have the numbers in certain races. It's just that, again, these candidates were so fucking off base that I think some like registered Republicans just they didn't really fall in love with all the election denial bullshit.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem to be like it doesn't seem to be winning them any more than it was, 4 years ago or 2 years ago. It's like, it's just a kind of continual downslide of like the GOP presenting candidates that don't work. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of rah-rah and hype around it. And you'll see, you'll get those crowd shots that are like, damn, this looks dangerous. But the fact is they're less and less popular. And,
and they're less enthusiastic about, I think there's always the appetite for white grievance politics, which is why the Republicans will, stay courting them.
Right.
But it is interesting to see, like, kind of bittersweet. They're like, oh shit, they turned out. And then the other part is like, oh, but some just weren't quite far gone enough to go all in. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, that's what prevent. Oh, okay. But I think it also has to be mentioned that like the Republicans constantly talking about like since 2020 that the early vote and absentee ballots are the devil's fucking work has actually depressed the base also. And like, there are a few interviews with people in Georgia who are like just regurgitating shit they heard on Fox about voting. And they're like, fuck, self-own, which is weird to think like it's a combination of their like craven policies plus just like lack of moral scruples to lie about elections, like end up helping the Democrats. And then it's just all it's a lot, folks, but here we are.
Okay.
But keep voting, y'all. Keep voting. Because they're not going to stop. Okay.
No.
Let's take another quick break. And let me go get my American Girl doll so I can talk about this next segment with some sense of authenticity right after this.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And so is Fox with their hatred of American Girl dolls.
Amazing.
I think most of us know about the American Girl doll. For those of our international listeners, I know Zyke Gang is international. But, you know, this is this American doll brand, been around since the 80s. And normally, like, they depict, you know, characters from throughout history. You know, like starting off, it'd be like, oh, here's little revolutionary, you know, Sarah.
Samantha.
Yeah, exactly. And like based on different like moments in the history and, you know, showing the average American girl at the time. I mean, these things are what, around $100 a pop usually?
Yeah. About that. Where they come with cute little wardrobes and stuff. They each have a series of books that tell the story of their time period. So Felicity is your revolutionary girl. Samantha's in the early 1900s. You know,
see, I told
she's
you.
Doing
expert
stuff. Abby is your slave girl. Josephine is Mexican American, and you know,
go off, Joelle.
Yeah. Oh, please. I was deep into it. It's a cool. It was. It used to be a very cool space because they would also put on like plays. So like different months, they'd have different girls plays. At the American Girl doll store, they had proper tees back in the day. You could bring your parents matching outfits for the dolls. It was really everything. And then they got into like the modern era, which I think is where Fox News's problem comes in. They were like, yes, black kids slaves, the Mexican kids, you know, make tortillas and stuff. Perfect. You stay in your lane, people. There's 27 white girls. Excellent. Excellent service.
Right.
But then they were like, you know, you could just be your own gender and still shop at the American Girl doll store. No problem. You can get clothes that you like that match the doll's clothes and it'll be fine. They don't have to be coded as feminine. They're trying to desperately hold on to their relevance as the new kids are not about it.
Right. Yeah. Not about and I think kids. Now the most I hear about it, like on TikTok, those people just get fucked up at the American Girl doll brunch. Like that they got in New York. And I'm like, yo, these people are getting fucking
if I was 22, I would absolutely go do this. If I aged out of getting drunk at the American Girl doll store.
No, no, no.
Never. Truly never.
I'll be on my Herschel Walker. I'll go in there fucking dolo.
Just let me tell you about some werewolves, okay?
Yeah.
Totally superior. Oh my God.
American Girl Palace, though, is a way more elaborate operation than I thought. You know there's a hospital in there?
You didn't know there was a hospital? Yes, because if you're
dull. Oh, no, I did know. I didn't. Well, I mean, I guess I didn't know in the past, but then I went there with my sister.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is where I get my doll repaired. I was like, what do you mean you get your doll repaired? There's an operating room?
Yes. Yeah. And they come with little gowns.
Literally.
Afterwards.
Yes.
Cast.
Yes.
If they broke your leg, they'll put a little cast over it.
Is there like a is there like a theater to like a surgical theater? Too?
Yes, literally.
No, there isn't.
Yes, you stand behind the glass and watch them operate on your American Girl doll.
What
literally.
The fuck is this? Gray Sloan Memorial Hospital? The fuck
it's
is that?
Real.
It's amazing. Okay. They treat your doll like a real person. They greet her and you. She is
that's
an extension
so fucked
of
up.
You.
Can you imagine your fucking doll getting better health care than you?
Fucked up.
Hey, so good to see you. Whatever.
Yeah, but then you like, get that bill and you're like, this looks familiar.
This is right.
Oh, yeah. How much is how much is it for a doll tune-up?
Oh.
A lot.
I never paid for one. Good. That was somebody else was taking care of that.
That was a test. That was a test.
Back in the day.
But recently, the company, they've drawn the ire of right-wing media. Why? Because of, well, obviously the manufactured outrage machine that exists there. But it's just funny because, again, they make dolls for kids, but this time it's for a, quote, sick and twisted new book that, quote, promotes using puberty blockers. I'm sorry, what? What is this now? But, you know, unlike other controversies, like where Fox is like, they're doing this thing, where they're really not, American Girl doll is actually doing the thing they're being accused of, more so in the sense that the book, the, quote, Smart Girl's Guide body image has a quote in it that says, quote, every girl needs to learn to live comfortably in her own skin. So within it, and I know that is an awful sentiment to be teaching young people, is to be comfortable and accept who they
Shocker.
Are. But in it, there is, again, it informs young children about puberty blockers. It says every girl needs to learn to live comfortably in her own skin, and this book will show you the way. In these pages, a girl will find everything she needs to know about loving her unique self, staying confident through her body, as many changes, and approaching her body for the life it lets her live, full of activities, tips, crafts, blah, blah, blah. And then it goes on to say that it mentions puberty blockers as a potential way to, quote, give you more time to think about your gender identity.
Oh, guess what? That's what they do. That's yeah. all they do. They just hit pause. Oh, yeah. gosh.
Yeah. And so because of that, anything about gender affirming care is seen as absolute, like a monstrosity from these monsters, ironically. And so they're completely just going down this road of like, what are they trying to do? Again, this book is written, with the help of medical experts, child development experts. It's not just people with an agenda. They're like, so it actually does help, because you've seen this in children experiencing gender dysmorphia, that this is something that's worth informing. Because, like, yeah, that actually it's necessary to, give kids the information or whatever they need to understand what they're going through and what the possibilities are out there for them. Because shit, you might be in a weird, really regressive area, and you might think, you know what? There's no option for you to express your gender identity in any way. And then, problems can begin mounting from there. So they're just firmly, the fact, again, because right now the right is on this full, hate ride that they've been on forever, but like really going hard after especially anything in the LGBTQ community. This is just sort of why this is now being super ramped up. And this isn't the first time they've attacked the company. In 2013, they said the company was becoming all PC because they were basically saying, we think pesticides are not good. Organic farming is better.
What a horrible liberal talking point.
I'm sorry. What? How? Okay. But like, just very simply, we just, think that pesticides aren't that great. Other places don't use them. It can be healthy. And they were just completely beside themselves. But again, before we big up American Girl too much, we should point out that they just partnered with J.K. Rowling for a series of Harry Potter themed dolls.
Did they?
In October.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's a little...
Come on.
At the end of the day, it still be capitalism.
It's still be capitalism. You know what I mean? Oh my
Damn.
God.
There was also, during the wave of people getting verified Twitter accounts, there was that a fake American Girl doll Twitter, which was actually pretty hysterical if you saw it.
Great.
Wait, what was it? What was the fake American Girl doll Twitter?
Basically, when the whole Eli Lilly and, Lockheed Martin fake Twitter accounts were happening, Someone did the same thing for American Girl doll, and they started posting a bunch of just, like, fake American Girl doll stories, and they were all incredible. They absolutely ripped.
Were they like meant to be like cutting commentary on American Girl dolls, or just using American Girl doll as the vehicle for cutting commentary?
The latter.
Okay.
Because like some of the, but they did went pretty all out. There were some like videos produced that were like, is your mom bitching at you from downstairs? Like, oh, mom, shut up.
And that was like at a verified,
verified American Girl doll account.
Holy shit, man.
Love it.
That was a good time. That was like a narrow window for very clever people. Mm-hmm. To get some interesting political take. My favorite again was the Chiquita ones, where it was like
Chiquita banana.
Yeah, first it was Chiquita Brands said that like we've successfully overthrown the government of Colombia or something, and then that was at Chiquita Brands. Then there was at Chiquita that was also verified, came through like we apologize for that previous tweet. We haven't overthrown a government since 1954.
Perfect.
What a duo.
Hell yes.
Anyway, that's what's going on. Let's move on to something else.
Okay.
Joelle, you know a little bit about Disney, don't you?
Oh, we hang out, every once in a while.
We hang out.
Well, it turns out, I guess the happiest place on earth, as they call it, they've finally announced an official closing date for Splash Mountain.
Yes!
If you recall.
Shut it
The ride
down.
That is just chock full of characters from Song of the South. And if you say, what's Song of the South? Well, it's a cartoon that was too racist to release on even home video. but it's okay to vibe out with the animatronic characters from it, though,
yeah.
According to Disney. But they say it's going to be going for another month and a half,
okay,
at least, before they close it. And the ride that is being replaced with is the Princess and the Frog theme ride.
Whoop, whoop.
But it won't officially open till 2024.
That's okay. Get it right.
You know what's wild? Bob Iger, when he was CEO in March of 2020, was saying, quote, Song of the South was just not appropriate in today's world, and we were excited to Bobby announce B. that we're changing Bobby, it, blah, blah, blah.
Bobby, let me tell you something.
Bobby,
when you released this movie in the 40s, it wasn't appropriate. The NCAA picketed outside of your theater the day it was released to be like, yo.
And the NAACP.
This yeah, sorry. What are they? Sorry. What day is it? The NAACP picketed outside of your theater the day of release to be like, hey, it's not cool for you to try to sell the idea that Black people felt slavery was an empowering institution. Please don't do this. And they were like, no, fine. This is about the good old days. Come on, you know. Like,
come on.
Come on, you man. So you don't like Uncle Remus?
Wow.
You don't like Dancing Rabbits? Come on. Come on now. What did the Brer Rabbit do to you?
Terrible. And the United States in the 80s for bringing that film back and making it a larger box office success than before. Like, the history of this film and how it crops up is so nefarious. I really hate it.
It truly is like, wow. Even like the origin of it about how like it was like it came together because some like white kid who was like doing like a journalism apprenticeship during the Civil War was just stealing fucking stories from slaves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then was like, all right, let me repackage this for white people and hook off with it. And you're like, how in the fuck?
Watch whiteness work. Like, just
watch whiteness work.
There's layers. There's layers to it. There are absolute layers to it. So anyway, Bob Iger said in 2020, we're getting out of here. Again, you already know where the right wing came with it. They're just being like, oh, wow, Disney, you're just caving again to, quote, easily offended people. Or people with a sense of decency and a perspective on history, but whatever, easily offended. I mean, it is true. The more you know, it is quite easy to become offended because you see how much fuckery's been going on since time immemorial.
Like, even here on Splash Mountain, the greatest ride to beat the heat at Disneyland, I gotta explore racism here on this ride. Oh, God.
What was wild is the National Review. They pointed out that they're like, well, I don't know if you've seen this. There was actually a petition to save Splash Mountain when they first announced it that had 93,000 signatures. And then a petition that was calling for the attraction's closure only got like 21,000.
Well, there must be done. That's a real world vote.
And you know what they said? Like, again, when people hold on to racist relics in this country, the petition said, quote, retheming such an iconic ride would erode the nostalgia that lives in Disney World and take away a little bit of the magic.
Here's the thing I'm nostalgic for. Remember when The Princess and the Frog came out in 2011 and we were like, I don't know, Disney's going 2D animation with the black princess and she's an animal most of the time. We were really distraught about it and now it's a Disney classic. Okay, crazy how good that movie is, even though I have mixed feelings about it, but it's so goddamn good. The music is really good. I sort of, as a black woman who had to work her way to any like a little bit of success, really value that they were like, here's a woman who just wants to own a restaurant and she's gonna make herself a princess. And then she did. Right. Oh, it's fabulous. And come on, like, listen, let's be honest. I'm really sorry. The Song of South song's not hitting the way a black gospel church is gonna hit when you go in over to that. Or you have Dr. Facili has The Other Side, which is an all neon electric like jazz combo. Lean into that. There's so much good music. This ride is going to be amazing.
But the thing that Disney has to consider, Joelle, is the nostalgia for the fans. Those who believed in a time where white hegemony was truly the best of times. It's the same shit. Like, they said the same shit with like when they had that Aunt Jemima fucking cafe.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was like, just to be nostalgic of like, whoa, we have black servants?
Oh, yeah, we missed that time. Isn't it fun to revisit? That's why we have weddings on plantations.
It's wild that like white dominant culture can rebrand these things as nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they're not nostalgic for the atrocity that was so in the background of their ancestors' experience. Yeah. They were like,
different experience.
You were in the kitchen, so that was great, right? You made
what was it like
food
for y'all?
Was it bad?
Oh. It wasn't like The Help? Oh. Okay, well, I guess that's a little disturbing then. I guess maybe you wouldn't be nostalgic.
I'm going to challenge you to read narratives about Black life from actual Black people, and we'll just see if it comes up a little bit different than how things like The Help, a white man's childhood memories, are relived. Good Lord.
Like, so the reason, a lot of people are being like, why is it taking so long? Couldn't you have done this during the pandemic when a lot of people were not there? I get that probably takes time to begin planning and like developing whatever animatronics that you're going to be switching out and things like that. But a lot of people were like, what's going on? And some people were speculating that maybe it was like at Disneyland, it may be open longer because the Indiana Jones ride is currently being like refurbished because they're adding like wrinkles and a new face to make Indiana Jones look like he's 93.
Amazing.
And I think
to look hot.
It could be. Flexible. I mean, I don't know what they're doing in there. I honestly don't. That's what could be happening there. And for them, I think people have said, like, you know, real Disney and analyst type people have been like, for e-tickets, that is like the most, like, those are highly popular attractions to go to. Hmm. And because they're in such close proximity to each other, they're like, you probably don't want to have two rides go down at the same time. Right. But also, I feel like every time I go to Disneyland, or I mean, I haven't been in like 4 years, but last time I was there, like so many like rides were closed that I was kind of surprised. I'm like, wait, what?
I feel this ride closed literally every time I go.
Yeah, I've never been in there. It hasn't been a ride they're not trying to improve in some way, which is probably what makes Disneyland like worthwhile and fun and exciting, is they're always trying different things. It makes sense to me that they would not want to close that. Like Splash Mountain for some people is the destination, right? Yeah. They're like, we're going to ride Splash Mountain today. It's like that or the space one.
Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. They're both mountains and they describe what they do.
That other spa-mau something.
So I could totally understand them wanting to do that. They did reveal at D23 earlier this year, the like basically like a miniature of the ride. So you get like an idea of like what's going to be happening in there. So
okay.
We know that it's fine. I like to trust the Imagineers to do things in time and still make that park enjoyable. I've never been to Disneyland and been like bust. So we'll, you know, it's fine. And I also think it's a great way to squeeze out your last racist dollar. Be like, get it while it's here. Come experience your last little bit of racism before we got to erase that.
Or you could just go to Tokyo Disney where that shit is still cooking, apparently.
Still cooking.
Yeah.
Look,
Disney, like, let them cook.
Look, island countries, we don't have the best perspective on what the world is like outside of the borders. Let me tell you, somebody who is black and Japanese, shit can get fucking weird.
I can only
very
imagine.
Quickly.
I really want to go to Disney World in Japan though, because have you seen the Beauty and the Beast ride though?
No.
My god, they do the transformation of the beast in real time in front of you with animatronics. How? Wait, I don't know.
Like, busts out, like, muscles, fur, just like, and he's like, da, 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 da.
So it's the thing where he's, like, being lifted off the ground, spinning and whirling, going from
the other way around, where he goes from beast to human.
So it's less frightening. You're in a teacup spinning around, like, through the ride, and you pass, like, just, like, all the stained glass windows telling the story, then Belle arriving, then the big dance scene is the final. And then the transformation happens, and then you end in a ballroom with the big dance scene at the end. I've ridden this ride on YouTube like 6 times because it's beautiful.
God, I gotta do that.
You can watch the transformation over and over again. If you know how it's done, please tell me. It's truly magic.
Get us to Japan. Get us to Japan.
Yes.
But it's funny that you talk about squeezing every last bit of racist dollar out of this IP because, you know, when they said the shit was closing, there was a fucking frenzy of buying up Splash Mountain themed merchandise.
Oh, sure.
Because they're like, oh shit, it's about to go. I need this. And I'm sure some for collectors and others who are probably like, it's a shame that they just don't like Brer Rabbit. and you know, people are it's a hot commodity. But again, I think as we've said here, a lot of people are like, well, what's wrong with the cartoon? It's the live action segments of this cartoon, again, where there's this older black plantation slave or worker, I don't know, however you want to use that word, Uncle Remus. He's telling these stories to these white children. And that's where, like, again, people, the outrage is really around a lot of that and just basically thematically what the film is. So we shall see what happens there. But Imagineers, do your best to make this not be racist. Please.
Kiana dark skin. Don't fuck that up now, Disney. Okay.
What's the over under on that?
Oh, child. I don't know. Just don't.
Yeah. All right. Never mind. Let's, we don't need to talk about
it. Not lighter than Beyonce.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time. Right. They're like, yeah, and to voice her is Bad Baby, the Cash Me Outside girl.
Oh, who, boy.
Did you see her black up?
I did. Yes. I did. And it's horrifying.
That one is a violation.
Black.
Are you for real?
Blackface is so weird. Like this neo-blackface where
right. They're
like really trying to blend in. Sweetie, I just wanted to let you know it's okay that you came out the way you came out of the womb.
It's okay.
You could just live that life.
You can.
Yeah. You're Danielle Bregoli. That's okay. You can be the Cash Me Outside. Look, I remember your first two singles came out. I was like, you know what? Whoever's writing this, it's not bad. But you don't gotta do all this.
Bye Bitch is a heater, no matter who does it.
Yeah. That one is wild.
It's good.
I don't know the lyrics? About these songs. They might be.
I remember when we heard it, we were like, no way.
Yeah, literally. That's what it was. It was like, oh, come on.
How? That's when I felt like we were like, there's no way she wrote this.
No.
They're like, well, she can't have bars.
No.
She can't.
No.
She can't. When is it like white Porsche, white wrist, white horse or something like
that? Bye, bitch.
All right, anyway.
Oh,
hi.
My God.
Anyway, don't look her up. Don't give her any more clicks, please.
Don't look
just
her
trust
up.
Us. It's become an abomination. Joelle, thank you so much for joining us to discuss various abominations across our culture and political landscape. Where can people find you and follow you, hear you, and what is a work of social media you're enjoying, if you are enjoying?
Oh, crap. I keep forgetting things about the show. I didn't look up a tweet. Hold on.
Come on.
Sure. All right, listen, good. I've been trying to get this, not Hinge. What the hell is this new app?
Bumble? Raya?
Nope. The one with the little butterfly with the bee. Hive.
Hive Social.
We were talking about something completely different.
Yes. I was like, it's one of the...
Wait, hold on, bro. Aren't you engaged? What the fuck are you talking about Bumble?
I was trying to help her out. She said, she was like, what is it, Bumble or something?
All right.
I thought you were talking about dating apps.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And you're off that, right?
Of course.
Okay,
ain't gonna find me on no apps. And while you're looking that up, Joelle, a 18-inch doll, advanced care and repair at the American Girl Hospital, $88.
Not bad.
Okay, what kind of injuries are we talking about?
Great question.
Are there pre-existing conditions?
Great question, Miles. Indeed. So, advanced care and repair comes with replacement of two of the following: head includes hair, full body, torso, or limbs, plus a skin cleaning, hair brushing and restyling, eye replacement, and limb tightening or reattachment.
That's
for the 18-inch dolls only.
God, that's a tune-up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can also get a hearing aid replacement for your American Girl doll.
You sure can.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good.
And thank you for that visibility.
Boy. I just love the fucking... You know, now I'm mad. I'm like, man, that's a good deal for their health care. Right? Brush your hair.
$88 to put my limbs back together? I'd take that.
Get me a new head, one with hair on it.
Literally,
right now.
Facts. Oh, man, bro.
Where the fuck we at?
I forgot my old AKA of single-digit Daniel for how many haircuts I have left is looking more and more true every day.
Oh, don't worry, Daniel. If there's one thing, if God exists, and I've been praying to him, the pill will come out that will give us long, luscious locks like of yesteryear. I want my hairline to look like when I was 14.
There you go. I'm just going to be baldy, and I'm cool with it. I'm just not going to go through my fryer tuck phase. You're going to see short hair Daniel to bald Daniel in one haircut.
I love it. I love the embrace.
And you got a beard. You're lucky, man. I got patchy facial hair.
Oh, you look great, bro. Come on. You're looking smooth as hell.
Yeah, them cheekbones. Thank you, man. You're pulling it off, Miles.
Yeah, you look good.
Thank you. And thank you for responding to my text. I said, hey, bro, compliment me right now.
Got that unlocked, and I got the Venmo, so we're all good.
Hey, all right, man. Oh, shit, I also hit your Cash App. But anyway, so you owe me one. Joelle,
here we go.
What's the tweet that you like?
Okay, y'all, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE. This is
U-E.
Old, so it's possible. It's possible it's already appeared on this show. But this is from Punished_Kate. You watch any Dateline and you learn real quick, there's nothing more dangerous than lighting up a room. It's on every episode, and that's why I don't light up anything. I make places worse when I get there. Truly appreciate it. And then there's one more. Boop. Okay, me. You don't like any of my gifts? My soulmate, no. 5 golden rings were nice. It's just me. Too many birds? It's really heavy on the birds this year, babe. And that's from Soulmate. Delightful.
It's really heavy on the birds.
Too many birds.
Shyamalan.
That's funny.
Daniel Goodman.
Yes.
Thanks for pulling up, man.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Where can people find you and follow you? And what's the active social media that you would like to eliminate?
Well, you can find me all over the internet at DJ_Danl. That's DANL. I'm on Twitch 3 times a week, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, playing games and being silly. You can find me over there at twitch.tv/DJ_Danl, 7 p.m. PST. Come hang out. And a piece of social media I like, this is from at Juan, is it B-U-I-S? Sorry, I can't come tonight. I'm watching the Rock, Paper, Scissors Simulator season finale. And I hope this gets shared in the footnotes. I'll retweet it so that everybody can see it. It is a TikTok video of the emoji of rock, paper, and scissors floating around on a screen fighting each other. And it is gripping television. You will not, I'm telling you, you will be on the edge of your seat watching this battle. I'm copy pasting into the chat right now so you can see it. That is the wrong thing. Not that.
Oh,
whoa, copy, dude, link to tweet. This? There What's we happening? Go. Boom. Sorry, wow. I was doing something else. Here we go.
Nah, you look good with your shirt off, man.
I mean, you know, what can I say? That's for the only dance. Anyway.
Oh, shit. Hey,
okay, let them know.
Go to you check the chat right now and watch this incredibly gripping television moment of rock versus paper versus scissors in a floating around battle.
Oh, my God.
And this scissors about to get fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, here come rock.
And the way it works is, if a paper interacts with the rock emoji, then it turns that into a paper. You know what I mean? Like each dominating one turns. It's, oh my God, I can't.
I was a betting person, I would have lost. That was incredible.
And there's a moment, if you go to it, there's a moment when there's only one paper left.
Wow.
And it's just floating around and it catches the rock at just the right time. Ooh, baby, hero moment. Anyway, go look for more rock, paper, scissors battles. But that's me. Miles, what about you?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Me? I'm find me. Let me say a tweet I like. First one is from Rue at Morgan Failchild tweeted, God, an older woman had a public meltdown moment at me over the summer. And at one point, I got so frustrated, I snapped. Your adult kids don't speak to you, do they? Her face froze in a look of horror for a few seconds, and I felt just pure triumph.
As you should, ma'am. That could have been like a wonderful awakening for that woman, though. I really hope it, shook her straight to her core. She was like, oh, that's why.
Yeah. It said, of course they don't. You're a rich Westchester narcissist who fully expects to be able to scream at, quote, trash without consequences. Nobody could love you.
Oh, God, spicy.
Windmill on it. That's wild, though, when you, like, I've been in situations where maybe you get into some kind of confrontation and you don't curse. You go for the jugular, like, psychologically.
Yeah,
just to see how, if they're built for it. I'm telling you, 10 times out of 10, they're not.
They're not ready for it. You don't want to be.
You're like,
they're not.
That clearly, you're just like, oh, shit.
Or I'll say, like, look, I'll say, I don't know what happened to you today, but I'm not the person that fall for that. That's on you and whatever decisions you made, so keep me out of this. And they're like, well, yeah, stop projecting, y'all. You act like I got Epson on my back. I ain't no projector. Okay. What else do I like? Oh, another one is a TikTok video. Woo! Uh-oh. Oh boy, look, we love a good TikTok video. Okay, I can't do it. It's from Ashley Kino 17. And I love TikToks that speculate what is happening in the recording booth, like with the song playing. And the track is Just Wanna Rock by Lil Uzi Vert. And it's just a fantastic little bit of a TikTok sketch where I don't even, just look it up. Ashley Kino 17.
So
okay.
Good.
Look it up. Just Wanna Rock. I just wanna rock. This ain't what you want. And then you gotta hit the footwork challenge though. And dude, Brian right now in the chat's going, damn, whoa. Yeah, exactly. The video is so hilarious. I love my TikTok for you page because it knows what I like now. I curated it. It's curious and it has been curated. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Check Jack and I out on our basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got Matt Boosties. You can find me on my other podcast with Sophia Alexander called 420 Day Fiance. We're off that bloud talking about 90 Day Fiance. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Oh, God.
Sorry you don't get it. No, she listens to it. She's like, She's like, your other show, I don't understand.
Aww.
And she's like, it's too stupid for me. I'm like, no, I feel that.
Okay, mom, fair.
Well, in Japanese, you'll say like the word baka, which means stupid, but it also means like kind of like foolish or fun or just being stupid with it. Like not being like, you're stupid. It's like, that's stupid.
Baka. You know what
I mean? More like that. And find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes?
Thank you. Nice. Both, like, wow.
The simultaneous.
Almost cried. Where you can check all of that out, the articles we talk about, as well as a song we ride out on. I'm just going to have you guys check out, well, no, you probably already know that track. I wasn't going to say, you need to check out Just Wanna Rock, you know what I mean? I just want to rock, rock, rock. Get your footwork up. And if not, you should check out Just Wanna Rock by Lil Uzi Vert. But I will, just because I've been listening to it a lot. Let's just do Quavo and Takeoff, Unconfused, Hotel Lobby, because that was my AKA, Long Live Takeoff. Great track, and it's so tragic to, man, this project was really fantastic. But check it out, Hotel Lobby, Unconfused, but that is Quavo and Takeoff, because Quavo is Takeoff's uncle. All right, let's do that. Hope you all have a great rest of your week. We'll be back tomorrow, or no, we'll be back later to tell you what's trending.
Yes, sir.
And until then, see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.